Well, thank you for being here. We are in Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to read through this 32. It's all basic genealogy. The important thing that we see at the very first verse there on page 1 is it begins Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Now, a lot of people will go back to the end of chapter 4, which is not a problem, and read verse 25 and put it in with this chapter. Because chapter 4 ended with the line of Cain. Really doing some great things as far as technology. The line of Cain was really advancing, building cities. They had, you know, weapons, and they had music and all, you know, cities. I mean, we got to imagine a very active, productive, civilized world at that time at the end of chapter 4. And we'll look at that again. It's Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal Cain, and Naamah, which is the eighth generation from Adam. And so we'll look at the timeline today and see where that generation falls. But then after verse 24, it goes to verse 25 and says, Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. So it takes us all the way in chapter 4, takes us all the way up to the eighth line with four people being mentioned in Cain's line. Then at the end, it comes all the way back and says, Abel and Cain's brother, Seth, was born. And again, not way up here. It'd be way, you've got to go way back and begin again. And he had a son, and at that time they began to call on Yahweh. And it begins now a new line of, going to be the line that's going to lead to Noah and eventually Abraham. And it does that. And some people take these verses and read it into chapter 5 because the story switches and becomes positive. We go to this genealogy. And that's fine because the genealogy then continues. The problem with that is the way this chapter begins. In the NIV it says, this is the written account of Adam's line. In the English Standard on your notes, this is the book of the generations. And that this gives me a lot of confidence. NIV, the written account, the English Standard, the book, meaning this is not the legend. This is not what Grandpa told around the campfire. This is not the traditions handed down from the fathers. In fact, I've got it in the squares in the Hebrew there. The first word that's in the square, reading it backwards, of course, S-E-P-E-R, S-E-P-E-R, Seper, it means a missive, a document, a writing, a book. That's what it means. It comes from the word that the root means scrape. And the idea of possibly taking like bark or something and scraping it down like a piece of wood, scraping it down to record on it. They're talking in Genesis chapter 5. The word itself has a root in the concept of creating a material to write on, and the word began to mean or became a book, a document. It's a writing. It includes letters. It includes sentences. It's a document. And then the toledot is the next word. It means generations or genealogy. It refers to the account. You're going to see this throughout the book of Genesis. This is the toledot of Jacob. This is the toledot here of Adam. And so the written or toledot refers to some kind of a recording of the genealogies. And it's like, see, we're so messed up, and I'm talking about myself, because of modern science and modern anthropology of telling us we evolved. Do you remember, like 1965, there's a life book called Life, like just like the Life magazine. And on the cover it had like, you know, a monkey or a an early man, a monkey man. It was in that chart came out that had the evolutionary chart of the monkeys. And I remember as a kid being excited about it because it was cool, you know, and how man evolved, and he looked back. It's all, you know, I was interested in that. Even had it hanging in my bedroom when I was seven. I remember 7, 8 year old having the monkey chart in my bed. My dad was a science teacher before he became a principal and before he became a superintendent. He also was a shop teacher before he became a science teacher, but nonetheless, he was in education. So I was really excited about it. But that whole thing is fake. That whole thing, it's what they did, and I've got a set of 5 books on this, and I've got a set of 10 DVDs where they've gone around and they're checking on all these monkey men, all these half ape, half man, all these phases of evolution. And they've been disproved, even in the scientific laboratories, they've been disproved. But what they did, they created the theory of evolution. Here's what happened. Okay, and they do all the paperwork, do all the books. All we're missing is the evidence. We're just missing the fossils. We're just missing the scientific proof of our theory. Okay, so everybody's excited, and they go off and they start finding things desperately. And the people that got all the literature ready to go, they're ready to jump on the bandwagon. And I mean, I'm reading these books, watching these videos. It's the same thing time after time. They find some kind of a part of a skull or part of a bone, and next to it, they maybe find some rocks that are interesting shape, look like they could have been chiseled and turned into a tool. So here we have what appears to be, and they'll have like a fragment of a bone like this, and then a part of an arm bone like this, and then they look at their monkey chart. It matches this one right here. This is the arm. This is the skull. And by that, that's just part of the skull because most of it's missing. But by the arc of that skull, you can figure out how big the skull was. And when you figure out how big the skull was, you know how big the brain was. And now you can figure out each brain gets larger. And right in here, they start using tools. And these rocks, these look like they could have been used for hunting. So these were the first on this, the third or fourth or fifth monkey man. They began to make tools and hunt. And this looks like it would have been, and in the where they find it, would have been like 400,000 BC. All right, check. Then they take this, and you go to the museum, and you see the model. There he is, the monkey man, with his, you know, the carcass of an animal and a stone sharpened to an edge, and he's walking upright. And they did that time after time after time after time. And then they find out, they go back and look at it. It's like, no, this is actually a monkey. Or no, one was, it's a possum. I mean, it becomes stupid. You're like, who are these people? They're in universities. I mean, I shudder to teach the Bible because I didn't go to a Bible university. I would like to be able to say I've got 4 years of Greek, 4 years of Hebrew. I've sat under this scholar. I would like to do that, but I didn't. You know, I'm studying. I'm doing the best I can. But to think that these people are in the universities and they're making stuff up, writing books, and it's time after time, there's none. There's zero monkey men. They're either monkeys, or they're humans that were human. They just found them like in Mexico or in South America. They excavated a graveyard. Look, we found early human bones here. Must be Neanderthal man. And then later on, it's a 1600 AD cemetery. And they're dating it to, you know, before stars existed or something. And it's like, it's not like, oops, we've made a mistake. It's like, no, they knew it, but they had to run with it for government support, for government. Sometimes, especially in South America, they are trying to take down the influence of the church. The Catholic Church had too much political influence, so they undermined it and forced into this, and the people like, ah, and the church lost authority because science took the authority. So now all of a sudden, it's not Christians who are rejecting science. Well, you're going to reject, because I'm going to show you, I'm going to read this as if this is a written document by Adam. Well, you're denying science. No. Science is denying science. Science is making stuff up, and they have been throughout the 1900s. And they want, they're doing it intentionally. I mean, they go through, they show it's on purpose. Anyway, I'm preaching now. But I had been influenced by that. And I used to teach the gap theory. I think the gap theory now is false. But I had to somehow figure out how the earth could be billions of years old, and yet Genesis, we still embrace Genesis. And so you combine, now it's like, I don't need to embrace lies. I don't even embrace monkey men. I don't even need to embrace an old, old earth. We can do this, as the Bible says, in 6,000 years. Well, how's, the earth looks old. Well, what Adam, when he was created, what did he look like? An infant? I mean, or did he look like a man? Did Adam shave? Well, how can he be shaving? He's only 3 hours old. How can he talk? He hadn't had time to develop language. It's like, these are ridiculous, the whole question, did Adam have a belly button? He's the first man. It's like these things, they make stuff up and make you feel stupid. Christians are not fighting science. In fact, what do they say, some large percent, 70% of the Nobel Prize winners are Christians. Nonetheless, if the evolutionists coming out of the 1800s following Darwin had allowed Einstein's teaching in the 1920s to impact them, they would have bailed out of evolution. Einstein answered the ideal of, with Hubble's telescope and Einstein, that time is relative, affected by gravity, affected by speed, that these things are all fluctuating depending on, as you play together, it's part of this physical creation that meant the earth had a beginning. When Darwin was teaching, they believed in classes, in schools, in universities, the universe was static, which meant it has always existed. It had always maintained this condition. It was eternal. And then Hubble's telescope goes, whoa, guys, there's things happening out there yet. And they're like, well, it looks like, and about that time, Einstein's doing some math. He's like, you know what? It looks like the only way this equation works is if we insert time as a variable, which means the earth had to have a beginning. The universe had a beginning. And Hubble says, that's what I see in my telescope. Einstein says, that's what I've got in my formula. Now it all makes sense. Meanwhile, the evolution are like, no, that means you don't need billions of years. It came into existence at a point. Well, it was a point a long, long time ago. It's like, we can't let the Bible be true. So, with that being said, we have right here in the Hebrew, in the English Standard, in the NIV, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man in his likeness of God, likeness of Elohim, he made him. And so this right here, chapter 5, verse 1, as I look at this, as I teach this today, this is part of the book of Genesis, but this is a document that is different than the material used in chapters 1 through 4. For example, Jesus said it, the scribes admit it, Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. But Moses didn't just sit, like people want to say, just sat and under inspiration, just wrote down like a dictator or a dictation, writing stuff down. He had, look, see, there is things written down from the ancient world. The thing is, Moses had documents written by men of God who wrote down accurately what took place, and then edited them together and even gave you the titles. This is the written account of Adam's line. You go back to chapter 2, verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And once again, the Toledot. And that throughout this, you see the Toledot. You're going to see the Toledot of Jacob. These, and he weaves them together. Now, in Exodus chapter 1, he records some history and then starts doing a play-by-play of what happened in his life, of what he saw take place. In Deuteronomy and Leviticus, it begins, the Lord spoke from the tabernacle to Moses. And so now in Leviticus, you've got Moses writing down what the Lord says. He gives him these instructions. And so now he is doing dictation, writing out, and the Lord is speaking to him from the tabernacle. It's in the text. So Genesis is written different than the narrative of Exodus, Moses recording what he saw and what the people said and what God said to him and what he said to the people and what, you know, he's telling his, it's the Toledot of Moses. But then you get to Leviticus, and now God is telling him, thus saith the Lord, write this down, write this down. And so that is the first five books of the Bible. My whole point, what I'm excited about to say this, is this what we have here is a written document that is authentic, that is written down by people who knew. I'm going to read through, if you don't mind, I'm going to read through on just page 1 and 2. I'm going to read through chapter 5, verses 1 through 32, and it is the genealogy. We're going to look at this a little bit today, and next week I'm going to come back and, in a sense, flesh it out, they say. But Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, page 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Now it says, name them man. That means he named Adam and Eve man. In fact, if you look in the Hebrew right there, I don't have it circled, called them, yeah, it's the bottom line, kind of the middle word of the bottom line of Hebrew. It's the word Adam. It's a word that means man. It's something, sounds like red, it sounds like dust. You know, it refers to coming out. And he calls them Adam, or this is now mankind. And they're male and female, mankind. So that's what it's being said right there. He calls this is mankind. Chapter 5, verse 3. And now what we've got, and I kind of did the titles for this, verses 3, 4, 5 is about Adam. Then you turn the page 2, you can see the second generation, Seth, the third generation, Enosh. Now I put the name of the person and the generation number, and then I put the years that they were born and died in. Obviously the years that they were born and died are, I've inserted that to my best ability by counting. You don't have to accept that, but just you can see where the text is at. I just put titles in it. So there's a paragraph about Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and then Noah. Okay, so here's the first part about Adam, and I got it. Number one, the first generation, Adam. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Now, I saw a Facebook post. I follow a lot of like creation and evolution sites and Greek and Hebrew. I even follow a couple Reform and King James only groups just for entertainment pleasure. I never say anything. I don't troll anybody, but I just like to hear what they're saying. But someone commented attacking. I also follow a Christian versus Jew page, and it's the rabbis versus the Christians, and it's fun watching the rabbis take cheap shots at the Christians, like make fun of the Trinity. No, I mean, yeah, it's just like what are they thinking? And they'll say, how does this even make sense? And then they'll say, talk about the Trinity and how ridiculous it is. It's like, oh, okay, and I scroll by it, and they make fun of, you know, the Son of God, you know, or that the Son of God didn't know he's the Son of God, but yet he didn't know this, or He's God, but he fell asleep in a boat. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, and they go on. It's like, okay, I don't care, but it's just interesting to see. But nonetheless, someone said on a post this week, says, there's Adam, and there was Eve, and then they had three sons, Cain, Abel, and Seth, and then they all had children. And then it's kind of like, do you see the problem? It's like Cain and Abel, and there's three boys, and they're all having all these children. It's like, meaning that doesn't even make sense. Okay, right. If you're a third grader in Sunday school, and Cain and Abel, they name all their children, Cain, Abel, and Seth. Well, where did the babies come from? Well, you know, I don't have an answer. Well, that's not that difficult. Adam lived 130 years. The reason I'm saying this is even with that idea, we think that there was Cain, there was Abel, and then after 130 years, Seth was born. And that's when Seth was born. Adam was 130 years. It would appear that Cain and Abel had already been born, grew up, and Abel was dead. Cain and Abel possibly were already married, and Cain has already got a family started potentially, and then Seth was born. Well, the thing is, in 130 years, Adam may have had 60 kids. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't say this is the census of the Garden of Eden. This is there. Well, here it is. Chapter 5, verse 4. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Now, when you read that, that possibly gives the impression those other sons and daughters were born after 130 years. But that doesn't have to be that way. He could be having children this whole time. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, there's several things in there that are, astonishing, is the number of years. He's living 930 years. I am not going to struggle with Adam living 930 years. Now, especially when Peter writes, as I've mentioned already this evening, when Peter writes, in the end, people say things go on as they always, nothing changes. And he says they deliberately forget that God created the world, that God flooded the world, and that someday Christ is going to come back and restore the world and change the curse and remove the curse and have the millennial reign of Christ. It's like they deliberately forget that God will intervene into history. And right here, the fact that Adam lives 930 years and if I make it to 100, it's going to be like, a big Facebook post. I mean, it's going to be a big deal if I make it to 100. How can he live almost a millennium? Let's see if I can do the math right in front of everybody. 2024 minus 930. Oh, boy, that's 4. Oh, gosh, change that, change this. 12 minus 3 is 9. 19. Okay, that means Adam would have been born to one of the Crusaders. And then by the time he was 40, he would have marched in one of the Crusades back in the Middle Ages. He would have been there. He would have gone to Constantinople when it was, still Christian. He could have been there in 1054 when it fell to the Muslims. Just think, he would have saw the Reformation. He would have helped start America. He would have been, by the time we founded America, he'd be 600 years old helping Thomas Jefferson, write the Declaration of Independence. So it's like, isn't that strange? Well, yes, it is strange if he's living on this side of history. But if he's coming out of the garden, out of paradise, if there is no sickness, death has just started. Death is just begun. Disease hasn't been developed. There's a wide range. Genetics, DNA, genetics, there hasn't been decline. It's not like, you go to your doctor's appointment. They ask you, is there diabetes in your family? Is there any cancer in your family? And they ask you these questions. They ask Adam, is there any diabetes in your family? No. Is there any cancer in your family or your parents? Like, well, no. In fact, no one's ever died in my family. It's like, oh, well, then that's pretty positive then, right? No, we've never had cancer, diabetes. In fact, we've never been sick. What is sick? What is a doctor? What do we need to? He doesn't have any of these things. Now, after a couple thousand years, that would be a legitimate question. But if there is a creation, that's not a problem of living 930 years. So I'm not even going to address that. What I will use that for in a moment, hopefully, if I get through it, is to come back to this Sumerian king list, because those astounding long years appear in the cuneiform tablets, meaning, I believe we are reading accurate records here in the Bible, but the cultures throughout this whole time period have recorded what they remember, what they understood, and they get part of it right, but they allow their own opinions, they allow their own religion, they allow their own culture to come in and influence it and recreate and redirect it, and it deteriorates. Just like humanity deteriorates, the story deteriorates, but we still have pieces of these stories here. Okay, that's Adam. I'm going to come back next week and do more work with these stories here. Seth. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived, after he fathered Enosh, 807 years and had other sons and daughters. So we're not listing, we're not going to name every child born. They're naming apparently the oldest one, but be careful. Sometimes they could be naming the most prominent one, the one that got the inheritance. Think of Esau and Jacob. Right there, it wasn't the oldest one, it was the one that God chose, the one that ends up having faith, that wanted the promise. So again, I assume these are all the oldest, but then once you think about it, isn't it unique that the oldest child is always a male? You know, and then you think, well, these guys are 70 years old and they finally have a child, or they're 65 years old, or Jared is going to be 162 and he finally has a child. It's like, well, I mean, we don't know how they aged at that time, when they hit puberty, when they got married. But it is possible, especially considering that when Adam was 130, he has Seth, and sometime before 130, he had Cain and Abel. They grew up, apparently had families, and then killed one of them. And so they were old enough to fight. So that means he must have had children when he was, you know, 20, 30. I mean, did Eve get pregnant, you know, like, right outside the garden? I mean, right after they got out of the garden? I mean, how long did it take? And so we may have a lot of people in between these years here. And they do have, you know, he had other sons and daughters. Seth, same thing. Enosh. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived, after he fathered Kenan, 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years. These guys are living almost a millennium. Kenan had lived 70 years. He fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived, after he fathered Mahalalel, 840 years. He had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. Now, let me ask you this. Does this sound like legend? Does this sound like mythology? Or does this sound like court records? Like, this is who he was, this is how old he was, this is the name of his son, they got the inheritance, and then he lived this long and had other sons and daughters, we're not going to mention them. Next. I mean, there's no, you know, and then he took hold of a snake and flew into the atmosphere, and, you know, and there's no legend. It's just like facts. It's like, this is the written account of Adam's genealogy. This is who they are. Mahalalel lived 65 years. He fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived, after he fathered Jared, 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared, when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Once again, he's 162 years old, and he fathered Enoch. Enoch is the one we remembered. Does he have like 140 years of children being born before Enoch is born? I mean... That's not out of the question, because it doesn't mention all the other sons and daughters. It mentions he had other sons and daughters, but it doesn't mention who they were. Jared lived, after he fathered Enoch, 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Again, theologically, notice what happens to every one of these guys. And they died, meaning what happened in the garden, and then they died. And the reason they keep having children is because of the promise that God is not, you're going to die, but the woman will keep producing. Humanity is not destitute. Humanity is going to keep producing, and God is coming to humans, the mankind's rescue. Enoch, when Enoch had lived 65 years, see, that's pretty young, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, that's going to be an interesting verse. We're going to look at that. Something's taking place there. Notice his years are quite a bit less. And he is walking with God. And again, the name of Methuselah is going to be important. It means something to the effect of when he dies, it comes, or when it falls, he dies. It has to do with, it sounds like it potentially is a prophecy, and we'll see as we know already. Methuselah's last year is the year the flood begins. You can do the math upside, inside out. The math always ends up, Methuselah dies the year of the flood. If the earth is 10 billion years old, if the earth is 10 days old, Methuselah dies the year of the flood. I mean, that's not even what about young earth, old earth? I don't care. It doesn't even matter. The documents here say Methuselah died the year of the flood. And that's not even like, well, how did you figure that out? You can't miss it. If you actually pay attention, you can't miss it. There's no way of screwing it up unless your calculator doesn't work and you got to do it on a board in front of everybody. Methuselah, when Methuselah lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. The guy's 31 years away from being 1,000 years old. His son Lamech had lived 182 years. He fathered a son, I forgot to take the 29 out for the verse number, and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. And you know how that prophecy is answered? It's answered after he gets off the ark and he makes wine. That's how that out of the ground the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief. And what's he do? Grows a vineyard and produces wine. Slice and dice how you want to, but there's a prophecy. How's it going to be fulfilled? He's going to bottle some wine for us. Okay, do what you want to with it. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, again, that's, you know, when I start doing my diagram, that becomes tough because which one was born first? And were they triplets, all born 500 years, or were they born a couple years apart, all generally? So that kind of throws things off. Now notice as you went through that, I put in there the dates that they were born, and that helps you out. I've got you got two copies. I've got a free copy right here, not free like it's all free, but it's loose copy. But then there's also the same copy stapled in your notes. And what you can see on this is this chart right here, except with better detail. And what I've done is way back when we started, starting with this stela of or steel of mentioning Ahab and 853 BC, kind of tying those together and finding how long each king reigned. And we showed you how to do it. We walked our way back to Solomon and when he built the temple, walked our way back to Moses at the Exodus. And then from there, you walk yourself back through Joseph and Jacob, and now you're into these genealogies, and you just keep coming back. I ended up in 4141 BC. Now again, assuming that math is correct, notice I had to change it because I made a mistake in the math, and I had to change that number. And even as today, my numbers today are accurate up to the time of Noah, and then I throw myself off about 3 years. So somehow it's not matching up, but we're within the ballpark figure. So with that being said, if Adam was created in 4141 BC, and this is not an arbitrary number, I got that by starting with historical dates on monuments, several places, dating history, kings and events recorded in the Bible, and tying them into the genealogies of the scriptures, and you end up right here. Now, I'm not the first one to do that. Many people have done this over the years. Sometimes it's close, sometimes it's off a little bit from what my number is, but you don't end up with 10,000 BC, you don't end up with 400 billion BC, and you don't end up with 2000 BC. You end up in this general area with these numbers. So, basing this 4141 BC, if Adam was created in 4141 BC, you can see right there kind of towards the bottom of the chart, he would have died in 3211 BC. Now you understand, that doesn't line up with what the anthropologists say and the geologists say and the historians say, because some of these things, see, this is dated to 2500 BC, this is dated to 2400 BC, this is dated to 1700 BC. All these are working. This Sumerian king list is dated 1800 BC. All of these things that you can see that they've dated are all on this side of the flood. You see this? Everything up here is dated. Now, they will find things, and they talk about the Neolithic, you know, the earliest time. And they put Jericho, sometimes 10,000 BC, and they're way off this chart. You've got to consider they're using the system that they've developed that is clearly faulty. They've lied about it. They've deceived about it. They've fabricated it. And so there is room that all of this can fit on this side of this diagram. And when you start seeing things that are 10,000 BC or 25,000 BC, you understand that it's not like they found a newspaper with the item. They're dating it where they find it in the stratosphere, or how they've dated everything down to that. So you start just like this. If I got this date wrong, I just continue to add to my errors. So if they start dating something and then they start building on it, well, everything is going to be off by 6,000 or 10,000 years. Especially when they go through and they say that, they go, and you've done this before, you've seen this, they go through the Grand Canyon and they got all these layers you can see go way back to 35 billion years ago. It's like, well, why? Because it took all that time to build this. It's like, unless the flood happened, and then it would have happened in an afternoon. And all these things, and they talk about all the sediments, all the life forms in there. And it is all a matter of the flood just laying that stuff down and then water cutting through the soft material instantly. And so when they date it, they got 300 billion years. No, it was like Mount St. Helens. They've gone to Mount St. Helens. You know the story. You all remember Mount St. Helens. It blew up. The volcano blew up. They take geology class. They've taken geology classes in universities out there and had them date it. And they came up with all kinds of, well, this rock here, and it's like, yep, nope, 19, whatever, I don't even remember the date. It's like, that's 35 years ago. It's like, what? How can it be? It's at this level. It's got this formation. It's a volcano. It happened. We got it on video. It's like, and so it proved all those things are they found a fossilized book. They got a book that was laid, it's like a 300 million year old book been fossilized. It's like, they found fossils at Mount St. Helens. Things were fossilized. What, in 30 years? It's like, that can't happen. Or maybe you're wrong, and that's the thing. It's coming out, and now again, they're going to have to admit, just like when I'm wrong, I'm going to have to say, I was wrong. But I don't have government funding. I don't have a university backing me. It needs to be like, I was wrong. Try again. Those guys, if they're wrong, they've got their entire careers, their entire degree. They've studied these books. This whole section of the library is not true. What's your degree in? This section of that library. Well, your degree's wrong. Totally worth. You are no longer an expert because everything you know is false. You need to start over again. It's like, well, we're not going to do that. We're just going to now, we're going to up the game. We're going to push it faster. We're going to push it harder. Anyway, going back to this. So you've got Adam living those years, and you can see Seth. And I try to do a good job of drawing those lines out. I did a little bit of measurements, trying to get about the same how long their lifespans were. I don't have the number of the lifespan written on there, but I do have the years. Like Enoch would have lived between 30, born in 3519 BC, and Enoch would have died in 3154 BC. Well, he would have walked with the Lord in 3154 BC. And his son Methuselah would have been born in 3154 BC, add 969 years to it. He would have died in the year 2485. And if you notice right there, the year the flood came in Noah's, 600th year? So Noah's 600th year is the same year that Methuselah died. That's that little dotted line coming down there. It matches up perfectly. I mean, you can find this in books. You can find this in the internet. You can do your own right there. You may have it in your Bible, a chart just like this. That's what happened. Interestingly, Shem was born the 500th year. It says Shem, Ham, and Japheth was born the Noah's 500th year. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth were born 100 years before the flood. So they're 100 years old. Again, are they 100, 102, 104 years old? It depends on, some say Japheth was the oldest. I think Shem is mentioned often because he's the one that follows into Abraham. Japheth could be the oldest. There's different thoughts on this. And then I skip, Shem would be the 11th generation from Adam. Noah is the 10th. You see those numbers in parentheses, and that's going to be important in just a moment. And then just for tonight, I jumped way ahead to Abraham, the 20th generation from Noah, from Adam. And Abraham would have lived 2166 to 1991 BC. Now notice right there, Abraham overlapping the days of Shem and Noah. In fact, Isaac would have been born and been alive while Shem was still alive. So Isaac could have talked with Shem. Now that's why some people say Melchizedek was Shem. I mean, the numbers work out. Melchizedek could have been Shem. I don't think that's the case, but the people that say that, it's like that's possible. I mean, you could build the case for that. I think it's somebody different, but nonetheless, just know that's how this gets condensed. And now all of a sudden, you're not telling campfire stories. Well, my grandpa told my grandpa that this was, and it's like legends being handed down. Abraham could have told Isaac, could have had Shem tell him about the ark. I mean, it's like, well, that's just a legend. No. I was there. I was there when this happened. I was there when we built it. I was there when we landed. And so to think that these things, then if Abraham would have written them down, we know they wrote because these things come from the time of Abraham. Abraham was writing. Abraham could have carried along with him into the land of Canaan the Toledot of Adam. It would have been handed down and maintained. Definitely, you can read, we'll get into the story of the flood here. Definitely, Noah's account of the flood is not a legend. It's definitely an accurate document that Abraham would have had access to. It would have gone into Egypt with Joseph and Jacob, and it would have been handed down and would have been collected by Moses when the children of Israel came out. And Moses sat in his tent and would have used those documents to write and record the book of Genesis. It's not that fantastic. These guys were writing, recording. Say, they weren't writing. Their writing wasn't that important. Look, they wrote all this. We got volumes of things written. Nonetheless, what's interesting on this same chart, if you don't mind, on the bottom, where we go down to Adam again, and now I've got his three sons written underneath Adam, Cain, and Abel, and then, of course, Seth. They're all number two. Abel, of course, his line ends. But Cain, I simply took the length of the line of, I think it was Enosh, or maybe Seth's line, his length of his life, and I just duplicated it and laid it down side by side by side. So we don't know the age of Cain and Enosh and Irad and Mahujala. We don't know their. We just know who begot who. And so if you take that general, I think it's 930 or something like that general line, and just keep laying it, notice how it generally lines up. You've got generation 2 is Cain, generation 3 is Enoch, generation 4 is Arad, then Mahujalah, 5, Methuselah, 6, Lamech, another Lamech, 7. Now, some people say it looks like they just got their documents confused. The scribes in Babylon who were forging these documents got confused, and they overlapped the genealogies. And so that's why these names are similar. That's a lazy answer for it. The reason we know that these are not, because the correlation's not the same. They're not in the same order. They don't have the same fate. They're not listed with the length of time. But anyway, Lamech was the seventh. And then Lamech, of course, has 4 children: Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal Cain, and Naamah. Now, if you take that line that I began to use and just lay it down, it lays up perfectly with the year 2485. Now, that does not mean Jabal, Jubal, Tubal Cain, and Naamah didn't have any children. It means they weren't mentioned. That line was wiped out. And so we'll read about that line between 3000 BC and 2485 when we read the account of Noah. Talks about how wicked the mankind was. And by that time, and do notice, it was Noah and his 3 sons and their wives that got on the ark. That means all of the children, other children of Lamech, were wiped out in the flood. That means all of Methuselah's brothers and sisters, if they lived, of course they didn't live that long most likely, all of Noah's brothers and sisters got wiped out in the flood. And so the evil did not just extend down into Cain's line with Jabal, Tubal, Cain, and Naamah and their children, although it did. It would have probably extended into, you know, the line of Noah, and they're all got wiped out. Nonetheless, that's just putting that in perspective, and you can see I put those years on there, so if you ever want to, like you see a doc like this right here, the Gersu tablet with the fragment of the Sumerian creation. This is an account of creation written in Samaria, and it's written in 2500 BC, and that would be, of course, over on this side after the flood, and they would have recorded the creation. It's got some similar things to it. Okay, that's interesting there. Now, is it time to go? All right. I was going to take another shot at it tonight, and I don't want to bore you with it, but I do want you to understand and be aware of it on page 4. This is where I left off last week. And Tony told me, she says, "You said you're done, but I do this quick," and then he talked for another 10 minutes. So there's no time in my mind. This is the Sumerian king list that is written here, and there's 16 copies of it that we found, like I said last week. On page 5 is list, you see the generations. The first 8 kings, the first 8 generations that when the kingship came down was in 5 different cities. And maybe they invaded each other. But it's interesting that that 8 generations matches very close to Cain's son Enoch, Cain built the first city, named it Enoch, which matches the name of the first city on that king list, and extends right down to the 7th and 8th generation that was wiped out by the flood, right there. And then in this document, after 8 generations, it says, in this document, right here, and we got 16 copies of it, after 8 generations of kings ruling in their cities, just like you got 8 generations or 7 or 8 generations of Cain, you got 7 or 8 generations coming up to Enoch, Methuselah, and then Lamech having Noah, those generations, it says then the flood came and swept it all away. It says that here, and there's 16 different cuneiform writings that say the very same thing in the similar fashion. There's going to be different, in translations and stuff. So it matches amazingly with what we're looking at in chapter 5 of Genesis is similar to what they see on this, especially after the 8th generation of kings, the flood wiping it out. Then afterwards, from heaven, the kingship was sent down from heaven a second time after the flood, according to this document, and it continues listing those kings. Now again, notice the length of years is extremely long. And again, I wanted to make some explanation on that. The names of the cities, that the five cities, I've got them on the map right there. I've numbered them 1, 2, 4, 5. We don't know where the third city is, but it may be Laroth. It's Larik. It could be Larsa. But nonetheless, but do remember, those cities listed there on that of the first eight kings of the in the five cities there, that was all wiped out by the flood. So those cities probably are not the exact cities. Maybe the names were reused or something, but that would have had to wipe that out. I'll talk about that next week and do a better job of going through those verses. I appreciate you being here. I'll pray, and then we can leave. Father, do thank you for the chance to look into your word. We ask that we would continue to have confidence in your word, in your spirit, in your presence, and in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that we would live a life that reflects this, that is pleasing to you. We ask that we would be able to share the truth of the gospel with the leading of the Spirit in the way that would be productive at this time, that this generation may see your grace, receive your grace, and be part of your kingdom. We do ask that we would, again, be good witnesses for you and live a life that is pleasing to you at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here.